Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Let's get into the Word tonight, church. Amen. How many of you have opportunity and are always excited to hear the Word? Amen. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open them up to 1 Kings 3, and we're going to be there the remainder of the evening tonight. So if you got your Bible, just open it up there, have it ready. And over the last couple weeks, we've been looking at this message, talking about running to the Father. And you know, it's been a blessing that I say this humbly, but you know, every time I get to minister God's word, you know, I'm the first one that sits in the pew. Amen. So as I'm preparing this, God's speaking in my heart and God's ministering to me. But, you know, over the last couple of weeks, really this message is exactly that. It's about you and I as children, as sons and daughters of God, knowing that we have access to run to the Father at any time. Amen. I think sometimes we can forget that. Sometimes we can overlook that. Sometimes we can lose sight of that when we're going through things, when we're in the middle of struggle, when we are, you know, faced with different challenges or impossibilities. Sometimes we forget the fact that we have a Father in heaven that has given us access to himself. Amen. That we have a Father in heaven, church, that has said, literally, like he said, you know, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. Like the Lord has given us a wonderful place as children to be able to call upon him. All over Scripture, church, we find that, you know, one of the greatest things that is threaded throughout Scripture is man's ability to communicate with God. Amen? And God's ability to communicate and respond to man. And I believe this is what we've been discovering over the last couple weeks, that this is what we should keep at the forefront of our mind as children of God. How many of you, when you were a kid, you know, sometimes got embarrassed to ask your parents for something? That ever happened to anybody, right? Yeah, me and you were on the same page. I remember there was times where I was like, I don't know if I should ask mom or ask dad. You know, just probably like many of you, you know, growing up in my home, you know, we had financial struggles. You know, and I think some of you can relate to that. You know, we had financial struggles. You know, I was a really sick kid. So if any of you know my testimony, you could ask my parents, you know, I was in the hospital almost monthly. And so being in the hospital monthly basically meant that there was a lot of bills to pay. There was a lot of money, you know, spent on medication and doctor's visits. And I'd go to the doctor every Friday to get allergy shots in each arm. I had my nebulizer treatments at school and at home. And I had inhalers. I had like four different kinds at one time. There was even a point in my life where I was taking about 14 pills twice a day as a kid. I was sick. Really, really sick. And it put a financial burden on my parents, to say the least, who were both hardworking people, you know, all that. But at the end of the day, there was still a financial burden that sometimes lingered over their life. And me as a young child, I kind of figured that out at some point. I realized, you know what, me going to the hospital is probably, you know, not the best thing, not the easiest thing for them. And so sometimes that meant, you know what, I remember one year I used to love to play soccer. And one year, like, I was literally, you know, signed up for soccer and I was about to play. And I was probably about 10 or so. And my shoes, my cleats didn't fit me anymore. I would play fall and spring soccer. And so in the spring, you know, I put my cleats on and I noticed that my foot had grown a little bit and my cleats didn't fit. And I remember, like, playing like a game or two like that, playing, you know, with my toes crunched in my shoe, and it hurt when I kicked the ball. And I remember I hesitated to ask my parents to buy me a new pair of cleats because I knew that if I asked, it would be a burden to them. And I knew that, you know, money would be tight. And so it wasn't something that I could freely ask for. Amen. I don't know how many of you had rich parents, but mine weren't rich. And so it was hard for me as a child to get, kind of, you know, build up the courage to be like, Mom, Dad, my toes hurt. What's wrong with your feet? My cleats don't fit. And, you know, how many of you remember when you'd go to the shoe store, your parents would push on your toe, right? You know, I wish somebody would still do that to me today. You know, they don't do that anymore. I'm telling Mandy, like, hey, man, like, check, you know, she won't do it. But when I was a kid, you know, they check, right? And I remember I put on my cleats and my parents checked and they're like, oh, my gosh. And I mean, my toes were like in there, you know, like they were super jammed in there. And so I grew up with this kind of getting used to not asking, getting used to hesitating to ask. Not because my parents didn't desire to give, but sometimes they just didn't have. Amen? How many of you are following me tonight? And if we're not careful, the same way that we were raised in the natural sense, it can bleed over into our spiritual life because we're just used to that. And you have to, at least I do, and maybe you do at times, you have to remind yourself, hang on a second, the Father that I'm speaking to now actually has everything. The Father that I'm trusting in now actually contains all things. The Father that I'm speaking with and that I'm praying to, that I'm bowing down to, He has everything. He is limitless. I don't have to worry when I approach His throne. I don't have to be afraid when I approach His throne because God contains all things. I don't have to be worried like, you know what, does He have it? Will He be able to? See, those are questions that you and I have in this natural, you know, carnal, finite world that we live in. Your kids ask you for something. Hey, mommy, daddy, I want to go to Disneyland or wherever, Fiesta, Texas. And, you know, you're like, we'll see when we can. And, you know, let us plan for it, right? Let us save a little bit and then maybe we'll make it happen, right? Because we are a limited people. But the one that you speak to, the one that you pray to, the one that you cry out to, the one that you call to, He is limitless. And I want us to get this through our minds and our hearts that when we ask God, church, God has the ability to do anything. But the stopping point is this, is if you will believe. Amen? That's the hindering. That's the part that always stops us short of a miracle is if, in fact, you and I will believe. So like I said, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at people who have prayed and how God has responded to them as a result. Did you know, church, that God answers? How many of you know that God answers? Amen. But oftentimes, we're too busy to listen. God is answering all the time. God is responding all the time, but sometimes we get too busy and we don't listen, amen? And so in this next instance, I had asked you to open up to 1 Kings 3. In this next instance that we're going to read about, we see how the Lord responded to a person who prayed and ultimately how God answered. So let's read this. Verse 5 of 1 Kings 3, it says this. It says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Verse 6, Solomon answered, he said, you've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and he was righteous and upright in heart. He said, you've continued this kindness to him and you've given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day. He says, now, Lord, my God, you've made your servant king in the place of my father David. He says, but I am only a little child. And I do not know how to carry out my duties. He said, your servant is here among people that you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or to number. Verse 9 says, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. He says, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Verse 10 says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you've asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, he said, I will do what you have asked. He says, I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. And verse 13 says, so moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. Why don't we pray for tonight's message? Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you're speaking to us even now. Holy Spirit, you are our guest of honor. Holy Spirit, speak to every heart in this room. I pray right now in this moment, God, that our hearts are focused, God. Remove all distraction, Father God. Allow your Holy Spirit and your word, Father God, to just teach us tonight, Lord. We want to receive what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we said amen. So in this passage of Scripture, church, that we just read about Solomon, we see that he is tasked with leading God's people. Solomon has been now, you know, given the opportunity to step into that throne, to be king of Israel, and he's now been given this opportunity, but he understood, church, this. He understood that the task at hand, that was to govern the people of God, he shouldn't take this lightly. How many of you know if, like, you were, like, appointed by God to be a king over the land, like, that's not something you should take lightly, right? You shouldn't be like, ah, I got this. And Solomon knew this. Solomon went into this wholeheartedly. He knew. He is like, I need to lean on God. In fact, we read, we read before that, that Solomon was offering sacrifices to the Lord. So let's backtrack just a little bit in verse 3 of 1 Kings. It says, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions that were given to him by his father, David. It goes on to say, except that he offered sacrifices, and it says, and burned incense on the high places. And verse 4 says, the king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And verse 5 says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. If we look at verse 3 again, it says, he showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given to him by his father David. You know, church, it's entirely possible to honor the instructions of your fathers and still love God. Amen? This is what he's teaching us. This is like saying it's entirely possible to honor your, you know, your pastors, your leaders, your parents, people in, like, spiritual authority, that you can show your love for God by walking according to whatever path it is that they have asked you to walk and to live out. And so God's response here is an interesting one, because God's response to the sacrifice and the honor and the obedience, church, was ask. Isn't that interesting? He sees Solomon following his father's footsteps. He sees him humble. He's following the instructions that his father had given him. He sees that he's living in obedience. He sees that he's sacrificing even up to 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. He's honoring God. And so God says, ask. Can I give you some food for thought? Sometimes we want to dishonor, disobey, not listen, and think we have the privilege to ask whatever we wish, and it doesn't work that way. Amen? Sometimes we think we can live exactly how we want. We can disobey our parents. We can dishonor our pastors. We can live however we wish. We can live, you know, thinking that we can just go about life. You know what? I'm just going to dishonor everybody, but oh, I have access to the throne room, and I'm going to ask God whatever I want. You can say whatever you want, but it doesn't mean that God's going to answer it. Amen? But when you live a life of obedience, when you live a life of honor, when you live a life of integrity and character, he says ask. Amen? It's like my girls right now, they're coming up at the end of the year, and they both got great grades. You know, I think between the two of them, maybe a total of, like, I don't know, 13 A's and, like, 2 B's. Did really good this year. Super proud of them. And they know what that means for them, is at the end of the year, it's like, So what do you want to do? Mom and dad are going to bless you. We're going to take you somewhere, or, you know, we may buy them something, or go out to their favorite restaurant. But there's something that they have earned that's given them that access to be able to ask. Now, if they got bad grades and if they were disobedient and they were, you know, spoiled, rotten kids, the moment that they came to ask me for something, I'd be like, excuse you? The Father in Heaven, church, rewards our obedience with our ability to ask. He invites us to ask. He invites us to pray. He said, what shall I give you? Wow. God, the creator, the one that has all things, he's asking this man, what shall I give you? Not because God bows down to man. Not because God is puppeted by man. You see, we don't control God. But there's something about our obedience, our walk in honor before the Lord, our faith and our belief in him, church, that moves him to say, ask whatever you want. Ask whatever it is you want. God seemed to offer Solomon whatever he wanted, and this wasn't only because he had sacrificed 1,000 animals, but ultimately is because his heart was surrendered to God. And God wanted, church, to work something in Solomon through this offer and his response. You see, when God invites you to ask for something, it's actually a test of your heart. Amen. When God's bringing you that opportunity, the invitation to ask, he's actually going to measure your heart by the response that you give. He's looking into the deeper things of your character in that moment that you may not even be thinking of. Your mind not even be there. Amen? How many of you think like I do at times? In the natural reaction to reading this promise of God to Solomon is to wish that you and I had such a promise. Amen? Like when I read this, I'm like, man, God, like, are you ever going to ask me? Like, ask whatever you want. You know, like it's like God appears to him in a dream and he's like, ask whatever you want. Wow, man. Like, let me think. It's like I want to think about this. Like, I really want to, like, hold on. I don't want to mess this up, right? Because if this was my one opportunity where God, the heaven, you know, the creator of the heavens and the earth is inviting me, he's saying, listen, here, whatever it is that you want, here you go, Duke. Ask. The truth, though, church, is we think that sometimes we don't have that available to us. But God's word says that we do. Let me read it. Matthew 7:7. Jesus is speaking and he says, ask and it will be given to you. He says, seek and you will find, he says, knock, and the door will be opened to you. John 15:7, he says this, if you remain in me, this is obedience, and my words remain in you, this is relationship, he said, then ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So the abiding has to happen, the relationship must be real, but if those things are intact, he says, ask whatever you wish. Amen. John 5:14, he says this. So this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, here's the big thing. Underline this in your Bible. If we ask anything according to his will. Amen. We stop and say, oh, I can ask for anything. Oh, well, God, I want a BMW. And God's like, no, you may acquire a BMW, that's fine. But God is saying, ask anything according to my will. And what does it say after that? He what? He hears you. He hears us. So this teaches us something that's super important. God responds what? In accordance to his will. Amen. But I thought we could ask for anything. You can. Technically, you can. Ask for whatever you want. But here's the deal. What he hears and what he responds to will only be in accordance with his will. Amen. Everybody follow? Amen. His response is in accordance to his will and not our wishes. God responds in favor of those who are found in him. This is the way this works. And so as we look at verse 6 and on, we see before saying what he wants. This is key. Solomon, before he opens his mouth to say anything, because God has already given him the platform to respond. God has already given him the platform to ask. He responds, church, in who God has been. Now, if God asks you and I, he said, hey, listen, ask me for whatever you want. I want us to stop and seriously measure our hearts for just a second and think, is the first thing that we're going to ask for, is it wealth? Is the first thing that we're going to ask for is the destruction of our enemies? Is the first thing that we're going to ask for is the health of our family or the prosperity of our business? What would be the first thing that would flow out of our lips in that moment if God said, ask me whatever you wish? We notice something that was so powerful about this man's life is this. Before he said what he wanted, he responded in who God had been. He responds in this moment, hold on a sec, God. Before I say what I want, I just want to acknowledge who you've been in my life. I just want to begin by saying you've been faithful. You've been merciful. You've been awesome. And he goes on in verse 6, he says, you've shown great kindness to your servant, my father. He goes back. He's like, listen, God, you've been so good to us. He goes, because he was faithful to you and he was righteous and upright in heart. He says, you've continued this great kindness to him and you've given him a son, which was Solomon, to sit on his throne to this very day. He's like, the list of things that I desire and I want, it can wait, God. I first need to brag on who you've been. I first need to tell the world that you've been so faithful. You've been so good. He continues on in his prayer and he mentions this. He goes on in the next verses to express of him feeling like a little child. He says, I'm like a little child. I don't know if you knew this, but Solomon wasn't a child. In this moment, Solomon is not a child. Solomon was not even close to the age of a child. But here's the thing, is he came to God in humility like a child. Amen? This is how he's approaching God. He's approaching him with humility like a child, especially considering the task that was in front of him. He's like, hang on. I cannot do this on my own, Lord. I am not about to suppose that I could govern your people, that I could lead your people with any kind of good leadership or good, you know, qualities or anything like this, Lord, unless you go with me, unless you're there to help me. And so this statement that Solomon makes, it's kind of like this, his way of expressing his inadequacies as he faced the great task of leadership. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I'm faced with something that seems impossible, it's a quick reminder of how inadequate we are to take care of it. Amen? And possibilities have a way of exposing our inadequacies. But our inadequacies are an invitation to trust in his ability. Amen? The fact that I can't heal my own body, or the fact that I can't rain, you know, provision upon my family, and there's certain things that are outside of our control as normal human beings, I can take that very inadequacy, that very knowing where I stand, to correct or amend a situation and bring it before the Lord and say, but I have you, my Father. I'm going to lean on you. I'm not even going to trust in my own ability to handle this. I'm going to trust in your ability, God. Solomon didn't have a false humility, church, that said, I can't do this, so I won't even try. When he was talking about himself as being like a little child, that's not what he was saying. It wasn't a false humility. His attitude was, the job is so much bigger than me that I must rely on God. And I think sometimes, church, maybe we only apply that kind of mindset and thinking to the big things of life, to the bad doctor's report, to the big bill that we owe that, you know, we may not know how to pay. When God is actually saying everything is too big for you, rely on me. Rely on me. Everything, church, in this life and in this world is way beyond our ability to navigate it on our own. We need Jesus. Amen? We need Jesus as soon as we wake up. We need Jesus all throughout the day. We need Jesus. You know, I heard somebody say, you know, we need Jesus when we go to Walmart. You know, some crazies in there. I'm just kidding. We need Jesus for anything and everything. Amen? Not just the big stuff that we're faced with. Oh, that's when we pray. But all the things in between and even the smallest of things. We pray and we lean and we rely on God. A lot of times, church, pride reveals itself when we avoid relying on His strength versus trusting our own. See, that's where pride reveals itself. And this is ultimately why people don't pray, is because of pride. Amen? If your prayer life is lacking, it's probably because something inside of you thinks you can handle life on your own. Amen? But the strongest people of prayer are those that know they have complete and utter dependence on God. They're saying, I need you every day, God. I need you because my own thinking is not right sometimes. I need you, God, because my own actions don't reveal sometimes your word, God. I need you in every moment, in every area of my life. But the less that we pray, the more I believe that pride shows itself to be, you know, something that's strong in our life. And this would be something that maybe if you use that as a measuring stick, if you look at it really the depth of your prayer life, the depth of your relationship and communication to God in prayer. If you look at it that way, church, maybe, just maybe, there's pride or there's been pride in your life for a season, and you need to pray and say, God, less of me and more of you. Amen? Less of me and more of you. Because pride does what, church? Does pride keep God from you, or does pride cause God to resist you? See, there's a difference. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I can live and I can walk around with a little arrogance or with a little pride. But the truth of the matter is, the person that is prideful, or the man or the woman that has pride in their heart, it actually causes God to resist. That means that God actually opposes you. He says, oh, you can do it on your own? Now we're not on the same team anymore. Let's see how long you can do it on your own. This is Jonah running from the call of God to preach the word of God to the city of Nineveh and thinking that somehow he could avoid what God had called him to do and commanded him to do. And God's like, okay, Jonah, you think it's going to work out your ways? Then guess what? I'm going to find you in any way that I can, Jonah. You can run and hide and you can go on a boat, bro. It doesn't matter. Guess what? I will cause that boat to throw you up into the mouth of a great fish so that you can have a revelation in the belly of a fish to realize that God is calling you to do something. So wake up, Jonah. See, don't think, church, that we can run from God for any kind of second or minute and think that, you know what, we'll get away because we're prideful in this. No, it'll actually cause God to resist you and cause God to say, like, okay, they want to run, huh? Let me show them that I'm God. Let me show them who's really at work here. And it's not because God is angry, or it's not because that God is mean, but at the end of the day, church, God has a purpose to fulfill in your life and through your life and in this world. Amen? And guess what? His plan, church, whether or not we want to do it or not, will not fail. Amen. I said his word is not going to fail either. So by any means necessary, God's like, if I got to humble you, I'm going to humble you. So here comes the point in his prayer response to God where he begins to ask God. Verse 9, he says this in 1 Kings 3 and 9. He says, "Give your servant a discerning heart." Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. There's a saying that sometimes we've said here, it's higher levels, higher devils. Now, we have to be careful in saying that. Really, what we mean is that the higher you are, the more you're exposed to things. But the devil doesn't increase in power. Amen? Let me just cap him off where he is. He's not increasing in power the more you get to a certain platform. If anything, it just means that he can see you a little bit clearer because you're a target for all to see. Does that make sense? But in that thinking, in that line of thinking, Solomon is praying an awesome prayer here. Because Solomon knows that he's been exalted to a high place. He's now up here as the king, which means that nations and cities and armies and all kinds of people are going to attack him. And so Solomon's thinking like, you know what? There's a lot that's going to be going on around me really, really soon. So Lord, give me a discerning heart to govern your people. Give me wisdom of the decisions to make, the hows and all these things. And he goes on to say, and to distinguish between right and wrong. You see, when you're in a position of leadership, the very thing that you do or don't do will affect the masses that you lead. So every decision that Solomon was going to make in the future forward was going to affect thousands, if not millions of people that were under his leadership. Maybe some of you might be thinking, well, you know what, Pastor, I'm not a king or a queen, and you know what, I don't have to worry this much about it. Listen, you are the head of your household. You are rulers in your own home. And there's people that are following you. And guess what? If that example goes wrong in any kind of way, it will cause havoc and destruction to the third and fourth generation, my friend. Don't think that the decisions that you make aren't going to affect people around you. Don't think that the decisions that you make aren't going to affect your children and your children's children. If you live for Jesus, the Bible says that it's going to bless the third and fourth generation in your family. Come on, that's a promise of God, amen? But if we're disobedient, if we live wicked lives, if we live in angst towards God, then guess what? That curse will follow in the family line until it's broken, until it's caused havoc. Solomon prays an amazing prayer. Give me a discerning heart, Lord. Help me to know and distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. He asked for more than great knowledge. He wanted understanding. He wanted discernment. He wanted it in his heart and not merely in his head. He's asking for something that's very, very powerful here, church. The ancient Hebrew word translated understanding in this passage of scripture is actually like the word hearing. Okay? So he's asking for an understanding, but it actually means hearing. So what he's saying is Solomon wanted a hearing heart, one that would listen to God. He wanted his heart to be that obedient and sensitive and able to pick up on the things that God was trying to tell him and the things that God wanted him to do for these people. In Ephesians 1 and 18, we see that the Apostle Paul, he prayed for Christians this same type of prayer. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, so Solomon is praying for the ears of his heart. Paul is praying for the eyes. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So this was a very similar type of prayer that Solomon was praying for the hearing and seeing of his heart to be responsive and ready to move when God told him to move, or ready to act when God told him to act, or to speak when God told him to speak. So he goes on to say and pray in the second part of that prayer. He says this, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people. And the second part was this, and to distinguish between right and wrong. I pray that this generation and in this season and then in this time, church, that we would pray to be able to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. Can somebody say amen? You know how critical that is to the testimony of God? It's super critical that we would actually pray once again, Lord, give me the ability to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, what pleases you and what is against you, what honors you and what dishonors you. Help me, Lord, to have that kind of heart. He is saying, I want the ability to be able to administer justice. I want the ability to be able to administer fair decisions, right rulings, and so on. So this should be the prayer of every believer, church, that you could distinguish between right and wrong choices. Amen? I meet with, you know, or I've met certainly over the last, you know, number of years with you know, usually younger people, and sometimes, you know, people my age or even older than myself. And a lot of times they'll come to me with something and say, hey, Pastor Duke, you know, what do I do in this situation? How do I handle this? What's the right decision to make? Do I leave my husband? Do I, you know, do this for my kids? Do I start this? Do I quit that? Do we go here? Do we do that? And you know what? Those are really, really critical questions to offer some kind of answer or advice to. Because I know if I say something and it's wrong, they're going to look at me like, Pastor Duke, you know, I did what you said and it ended up worse. Right? So guess what? When I'm asked those kinds of things, I don't take them lightly. And I pray and I ask God for wisdom. I ask the Holy Spirit for discernment because I'm like, what I'm about to say literally has the ability to affect this person's life in a great, great way. So I need discernment and I need to be able to distinguish right and wrong. Not what I would do in the situation, but what his word would call us to do. This is what Solomon is asking, and this should be the prayer of every believer, that you could discern the right path of life. Amen? For a lot of our young people right now, you are in that phase, in that moment of time where it's like you're considering the person that you may be with for the rest of your life. Get it right. And everybody said, amen. Get it right. Because maybe there's somebody in here that could testify that at one time they got it wrong. And things didn't go as planned. Things ended up a certain way. Things became a challenge when they didn't have to be, when all they had to do was pray for discernment for the right path of life. The right way to do things. Sometimes we want to make the decisions based on how we feel, what we see, what we think is best. And Solomon is giving us an awesome key here. He's saying, do not trust your own thinking. Ask him for the right choice. Amen. He's saying these are things that you could pray for, that you could discern the right path of life, that you could offer the right counsel to your family or your children. You see, as a father, I have a great responsibility. That's to lead my children, my family. I can't just say whatever I want to say or what I had seen said as a child. I have to lead them in the right kind of manner. We have to pray, church, that you can minister at the appointed times as the Holy Spirit leads you to. Amen. See, that's important in this day. That's important in this season that you and I are living in. And we have to pray for that kind of sensitivity, that kind of hearing of heart, like Solomon was asking for, because more often than not, we pray for the fruits of life. Like I said, if God asked you, ask whatever you wish. All y'all would have prayed for the fruits of life. Oh, God, give me the blessings, man. Lord, hold on. Can I get the blessings, please? Lord, can I get the easy road in life? I don't want to go down the hard road, man. Don't take me down the road of persecution. God, I want the road of, like, roses and sunshine. Take me down that path, Jesus. More often than not, we ask God for the health, the wealth, the victories, the blessings, the fruit of life, but we never ask God for a wise and discerning character, or we rarely ask the Lord for integrity. We say, gimme, gimme. Like a little child wants to, you know, I got a pantry at my house. I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, this is our fault. I got a couple kids that are just like their daddy. They have a sweet tooth. And in the pantry, there are sweet things to find. Right? I say, it's my fault because I should just go throw them away. But I got a couple kids that have a sweet tooth that every now and again, you know, Audrey will come home. She gets home out of school, and she'll hear this one day. I'll pick on her right now. She'll get out of school and she'll come home and we have like rice cakes, right? Y'all know what rice cakes are, right? It's like styrofoam, basically. Anyways, pretty much, right? Like, all right. And who knows what it's actually made out of. It's probably not rice. But anyways, it's like this little styrofoam circle thing, you know. We have these rice cakes, but guess what? You know, and they're supposed to be healthy, right? You know, they taste like air, you know, and styrofoam. But Audrey, because she's got a sweet tooth, goes in the cabinet, goes in the pantry, pulls out that nice, healthy jar of Nutella. She paints those things so perfectly. And then that's her little after-school snack because she has a sweet tooth. Now, if I don't want my kids to have sweet things, then I could just take the sweet things out of the house, right? I could just remove them all together and take those away. And you and I, we are inclined to want the sweet things of life. We're inclined to want the things that are easy. We're inclined to want all those things. And I petition you tonight to ask God for the things necessary to get through the hard times, for the things necessary to make the right choices, for the things necessary to walk in integrity. In Solomon's case, he asked for the right things. And the result of that petition was this. Verse 10, let's read this. 1 Kings 3 and 10. So the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. And God said to him, since you've asked for this and not for long life or wealth or for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, he said, I will do what you've asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. He says, moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. Isn't that interesting? He asks God for the right thing, and it pleases God. And so God's like, you know what? You didn't even have to ask for that other stuff, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. Amen. He says, I will give you what you've not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. You see, there is a prayer, and there is such a prayer that pleases God, church, and it's called praying in accordance to his will. You see, God was pleased by what Solomon asked for in that he knew he needed great wisdom. You see, when God brings you to a point in life, church, where you got to get on your knees to pray, there is a right way to pray before God and a wrong way to pray before God. There is a right way that pleases God, and there is a wrong way that will displease God. And God is weighing the character and the motive of your heart in that moment so that as you pray, church, he's seeing right through you and he's going, is he really going to ask? Is she really going to ask for what it is that she needs for this season or simply just what she wants? See, God was pleased because Solomon asked for what he needed in this moment. He knew his need for wisdom and discernment and understanding. In Romans 8:26, we see this verse. I'm reading out of the New King James. It should be the same on the screen. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps you and I in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. He says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, sometimes, church, we don't even know what we need to pray for. And I think that's when we need to just stop and say, God, show me what to pray for. You know that you can ask what to pray for, amen? Before you just start blurting out words, you can ask him, Lord, show me what to pray for. Show me what to pray for. Show me how I can communicate this to your heart, Lord. God was also pleased, church, you know, that by what Solomon did not ask for. He was pleased by that fact. He was pleased by the things that he was like, you know what? He's not going to ask me for the fruits. But you know what? Just because he didn't, I'm going to give them to him anyways. Because his heart was in the right place. I think so many times, church, we come to God and we beg him in prayer for, oh, this is what I want. For some of you, it's, oh, I want a relationship. Oh, I want a career, God. Oh, I want this. I want finances. I want all these things. And we're begging God for all these things. And guess what? I believe that God wants to give you a lot of those things. But see, what you don't have is what you need, which is the measure to be able to carry the blessings that God wants to hand to your life. You don't have the capacity or the integrity to be able to steward the blessings that God wants to bestow upon your life. Amen. So a lot of times God's like, I can't give you that yet. That's going to destroy your life. I'll never forget when I prayed and I asked God for children. I said, Lord, I want children so bad, God. And God stopped me one afternoon. I remember it was like during the day, I think I just got out of work. And God stopped me and he was like, basically he was telling me like the children will come. He's like, you'll be a father one day. It's coming, Duke. But I need you to be a husband right now. Before you get into fatherhood, you got to keep learning how to be a husband. He revealed something to me that I was like, I want that. It's over there. And God's like, I know. I know. That's going to be a part of your life. You will get there. That promise will be received. Make no mistake about it. But son, I need you to be a husband in this moment. I need you to learn how to honor your wife. I need you to learn how to protect your wife. I need you to keep learning how to provide for her. I need you to keep learning how to lead her and pray for her and do all these things. He was like, don't get ahead of yourself. Isn't God awesome that he protects us that way? I could honestly say that, you know what? Had children come before that, I wouldn't have known how to handle that blessing. I wasn't ready, but God said, you know what? I see better than you. That's why we have to ask, God, let my heart hear you right. Let my heart see your ways right. He was so pleased by what he didn't ask for. That he didn't ask for the riches or the power or the fame or any of those things. He didn't ask for the destruction of his enemies because he asked according to God's will. And because he did that, church, the other blessings automatically would follow. You see, God's response to that kind of prayer is this: I've also given what you have not asked. God is a God, church, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we could ever ask or think of. That's what his word says. Exceedingly abundantly more. And this is literally what Solomon got to experience. He's like, God, give me a discerning heart. And God's like, I'm going to do exceedingly. I'm going to do abundantly. I'm going to do more than you could ever ask or think of, Solomon. And I'm going to show you what that looks like. I'm going to give you a long life and I'm going to give you all these things. I'm going to bless your life. Solomon didn't ask him for riches, but yet he was the richest king the Bible ever recorded. Isn't that interesting? So maybe, church, we got to ask for the right things. And maybe, church, there's some things that we need to stop asking. Amen. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul honors God by saying, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's it. When you pray to God, he's able to do more than you could ever fathom, church. This is the kind of God that you're communicating with. Communicate right. Amen? Communicate clear. Communicate in the way that pleases his heart. Solomon was asking God regarding his character and not regarding his possessions. How many of you know, church, that what we are is more important than what we have? Amen. What you are is so much more important than what you have. For me, it is a 20-something-year-old kid at that time when I was praying for children. God was more interested in who I was than what I was going to have. He's like, you're going to have children one day, son. But I'm more interested right now in the husband that you need to be than what I want to bless you with. Solomon awoke, church, and realized it was all a dream. But at the same time, it was a message from God. God had met with him. God had met with this man. God answered his prayer. He made him powerful, wise, rich, and influential. His reign over his time in Israel was really well. And if you know his whole story, at the end, there were some things that didn't go right. There was kind of a tragic ending to his reign. And I would say this was that Solomon had wasted the gifts that God gave him. See, God can give you all kinds of things in this life and in this world. And at the same time, church, we can waste those things. Though he had accomplished much, he had done much more, and his heart was ultimately led away from God in the end. And there's a lot more specifics that I could give you, but that's going to take up all our time. So here's the point. If you're serving God well, if you're living a life in obedience to his word, if you are loving on Jesus, then God's appeal to you and I is this: ask whatever you wish. Amen. See, this isn't a wish, church, as in throwing a coin in the fountain. This must be a faith-filled belief. That, as Matthew 21 says, verse 22, he says this: if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Amen. Our Father in heaven, church, he responds to prayers of faith, not to faint little weak prayers, because belief precedes what we receive. Amen? Belief precedes what you and I will receive. So I want us to bow our heads tonight. And right there where you are, if there's anything that you have been desiring God for, hopefully you've heard this message clearly tonight and you realize, God, if I'm about to ask you for anything, God, let me ask for what is concerning to my character in you, my integrity in you, my walk in you, God. Let me not get ahead of myself and ask just for the blessings, God, but let me ask God for what needs to be built up in my life. So right there where you are, church, I want you to begin to pray. Just take a moment right there where you are between you and the Lord. Just begin to pray. I believe God is revealing things to your heart and to your life right now in this moment. And right now, as we begin to pray, as we begin to lift our voices, I want you to just take some time with the Lord right there. He's been speaking to you. He's been speaking to you. He's been speaking to you, and he's revealing things right now. It's that very thing that he's revealing by the power of his Holy Spirit that you need to ask him for. For some of you, it's, God, I'm too weak, God. For some of you, it's God, I'm too fearful. For others, it's God, I'm not bold enough, God. For others, God, it's help me be obedient. Whatever that looks like for you, just ask him for it right now. Say, God, help me to be more obedient, Lord. Help me to be, Father God, more courageous, Lord. Help me, Father God, to take a stand, Father, to be bold in my faith, God. Help me, Father God, to submit my emotions and my pride to you, God. Whatever it is, God, that I must surrender right now in this moment, God, I know that, Lord, if I surrender it to you, Father God, Lord, there will be a blessing that will be upon my life, God, that is sure to follow, Father, because just as Solomon asked for discernment and wisdom, Father God, and not wealth and not health or the destruction of his enemies, all those blessings came from your hand, God.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.